Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Governess of Discretion by Emily E. K. Murdoch. Narrated by Jessica Bright. Welcome to the Governess Bureau. You are most welcome, sir or madam. When the nobility and gentility of England are at their wits' end, they send a discreet note to Miss Vivian Clark's Governess Bureau. Only accepting the very best clients, their governesses are coveted by minor royalty, with every governess following three rules. 1. You must have an impeccable record. 2. You must bring a special skill to the table. 3. You must never fall in love. Chapter 1. October 30th, 1812. It was almost certainly her. Miss Anne Gilbert had only had the pleasure of her acquaintance for a few days, that was true, but there was no mistaking that look. Something more than smug, more than happy. It was almost incandescent joy. "Hello, Meredith. I thought you were up north with some duke." Anne grinned at the woman dressed in far finer furs than she had ever seen her in before. She turned. It was Meredith. Miss Meredith Hubert, fellow governess of the Governess Bureau. But if the rumours were to be believed, then the gentleman beside her, all dark, brooding and serious, was the man she had been posted to. The man she had broken all rules for, and married. Anne could not help herself. "Goodness, are you it?" She stepped forward to get a better look, no self-consciousness at all. It was what her mother had always scolded her for, but at almost 25, Anne was past caring what her mother said. Most of the time. In any case, the gentleman did not appear to mind. A smile broke out on his face as he looked at Meredith. The sunlight poured down into the alley which housed the governess entrance to the bureau, which Anne had been making for, and a chilly wind ruffled his hair. "Why, yes," he laughed ruefully. "I am it."
"The gossip is true, then?"
Anne launched herself at Meredith, pulling her into an embrace.
"You really did marry him?"
"She really did," said what must be the Duke of Rochdale. "Goodness, don't strangle my wife, miss."
Anne released her with an apologetic grin. She was always wont to allow her emotions get the better of her. It was the red hair. At least, that was what she blamed, which was easier than actually admitting that one's emotions, unlike what they should be in a refined young lady, were always just below the surface.
"Well, I don't mind saying how pleased I am, Meredith. I really don't," Anne said, meaning every word.
There were plenty of opportunities for ladies in 1812, she thought, as long as they were brave enough to take them.
"I'm heading in now to find out my next charge. Apparently the master's just arrived."
"Ah, you'll be for the Earl of Clarkton, then," said Meredith with a knowing smile. How did she know whom she was to be placed with next? It was a matter of prestige. The grander the title of your master, the more impressed the proprietress was with you. Anne swallowed. She had just completed her assignment at the Earl of Allen. Not an easy job, and it was a slight relief to be rid of him and his brood. But no one knew about that, she reminded herself. The secret had stayed with her, and always would. Meredith was watching her, and Anne realised she had not responded.
"Oh, another earl," she nodded. "Well, you know more than I do, then. Better dash. Miss Clark is a stickler for punctuality, as you know. Good luck."
Her heart was thumping as she bid the new duchess adieu and stepped through the governess door into the side passage. Another earl. Well, she had certainly earned it,
Anne thought, as she walked lightly along the corridor she knew so well. First a baronet, then another, then an earl, which had quite taken all her resources to manage. The corridor was quiet. Anne could well remember a few applicants to the place being rejected merely for the heaviness of their steps. And now an earl. If Meredith was correct, of course, though Anne saw no reason why she would offer the information if merely guessing. Being a member of the Governess Bureau is an honour. That was what Miss Clark had said the day of her first assignment. She took the staircase that spiralled down to the waiting room. She was right. There was no other place a nobleman would dare consider sourcing a governess from. They were the best. Anne took a deep breath as she reached the waiting room door and paused. The moment she walked in, she would be scrutinised, judged and measured, and that was by the other governesses. She respected Miss Clark, naturally, but she was rather a gorgon. Besides, it was coming up to Christmas. Anne had never been one for ceremony, but Christmas had always been a time for family, though she knew precisely what would happen. A smile crept over her face. As the governess, her mother would swiftly enlist her to care for her many nieces and nephews. Anne had nothing against children, most governesses did not, but with four siblings, each of whom had at least three children... Anne grasped the door of the waiting room firmly. No, she was ready for her next assignment. This Christmas would be spent with another family, not hers. The waiting room was half full as she stepped inside and looked for a seat. A few governesses of more advanced years, their gowns in yesteryear's fashions and their hair streaked with silver, sat in a corner muttering. There was a girl who looked half in need of a governess herself, a nervous look on her face. Two ladies Anne recognised as Miss Helena Patrick and Miss Rachel White sat together in silence, each reading a book. Anne grinned at those who glanced at her and took a seat opposite Miss Clark's office. Curiosity was a virtue, or a failure, she had been born with, and she looked around now. Yes, it would be December in just over 4 weeks, which was always a busy time for the Governess Bureau. It had surprised her when she had first joined the ranks. Christmas was a time for family, that was what her father had always said. Why would a nobleman wish to introduce a stranger into the home at such a time? Because, Miss Clark had informed her when she had unwisely asked such an unguarded question, a nobleman will wish to enjoy the season, and that is simply impossible without a governess. Anne had not quite believed her until her first posting. Sir Moses of Wandorn had been a pleasant enough gentleman. That was, he was kind to his wife and children, and Anne had seen no ill of him. But when December appeared, she had not seen him for almost 6 weeks. Every evening, an engagement in town, a ball, a house party, a dinner at the hall. It was a wonder, Anne had thought at the time, he remembered he had any children. Good morning, said a young lady nervously. Anne smiled. Poor thing. First time being given a posting, if she was any judge. And with that sort of reticence, Miss Clark may not be impressed. There were many a lady who joined the Governess Bureau only to be disappointed and never receive an assignment. The families that came to the Governess Bureau, after all, were looking for something, well, a little different. Good morning, she replied with a smile, receiving a glare from one of the reading ladies, as though she had interrupted the sacred silence of a library. Anne caught the nervous-looking girl's eye and grinned. I am Anne Gilbert.
Elizabeth Fletcher,
came the shy reply.
Beth.
Anne smiled, but said no more. Miss Fletcher's cheeks had flamed, and her gaze became downcast. The memory of Miss Fletcher was returning now. A sweet thing, rather scarred by a boisterous set of twins in France, wasn't it? She would be back for her second assignment then, still relatively green. Sighing and leaning back in the chair, Anne mused over what Meredith had said. Ah, you'll be here for the Earl of Clarkton, then. The Earl of Clarkton. It rang a bell, though Anne could not precisely remember why. Most titles were mentioned in the great drawing rooms of society, and it was entirely possible she had heard him mentioned while serving the Earl of Allen, or Sir Moses, for that matter. Clarkton. It was north of here, but the gentleman himself, his family. No, Anne could recall nothing. Except, wasn't there some sort of scandal? Not scandal, exactly, but intrigue. Anne could recall seeing the name in newsprint, though what the story was had quite disappeared from her mind, and if what had been written about the Earl of Allen's daughter was anything to go by, newspapers rarely had the whole truth anyway.
Who are you getting?
Anne started. Miss Fletcher had moved closer, smiling nervously. The Earl of Clarkton, said Anne softly, glancing quickly around. I think, but I am not certain. I'm sure Miss Clark will inform me. Miss Fletcher's eyes widened. An earl? You are most fortunate, or at least, I should say, you have evidently worked hard. Your previous master must have been impressed. Anne worked hard not to smile. It was not ladylike, and it was certainly unbecoming of a governess to take pride in her work. She should not crow. Preening was not something to be praised, and she had worked hard for the dues she was hoping to receive. Being arrogant was an unflattering look.
I did what I could for his lordship, she said softly.
Miss Fletcher looked amused.
I have found earls and dukes far more grateful in my experience, especially with those as many children as the Earl of Allen.
Anne blinked. Earls and dukes? She had taken the woman before her as a mere girl, assumed she had not yet taken the plunge and cared for children as a governess yet. But the way she spoke.
Do not worry. You are not the only one to assume I am younger than I am, said Miss Fletcher with a shy smile. 'Tis something of an advantage, in truth. Specialising in twins means travelling, and wherever I go, I am assumed not to have reached my majority.
Twins, said Anne, allowing her voice to rise and receiving a look from one of the older governesses.
Twins, she repeated quietly. I would not even know where to start.
It's not for the faint-hearted, said Miss Fletcher with a soft laugh. But then, nothing in the Governess Bureau is ever easy. And the Earl of Clarkton, well, after all the rumours.
Anne nodded, cheeks flushing at the hint which she did not understand.
The rumours. There was evidently something interesting about the Earl of Clarkton, yet she would feel a fool asking, now she had already made herself a fool, assuming Miss Fletcher was inexperienced. The rumour. What was it? Why was her memory failing her at this critical junction?
Yes, the rumours, she said carefully. Well, I suppose I'm not even certain that the Clarktons will be my next posting. I will have to see whether Miss Clark gives him to me.
A dark crimson covered her cheeks. What phrasing to utter aloud, and in public too. She could hear a mutter from one of the older governesses and felt the flush deepen down her neck.
Blast! She was usually so careful with her words.
Trust her, when Miss Clark was hopefully about to give her the next assignment, to speak so carelessly.
I know what you meant, said Miss Fletcher kindly, only increasing Anne's shame. I must admit, I am hopeful for a duke myself. What an honour to be given such a charge.
Anne smiled. What was it that made dukes, earls, all those other impressive-sounding titles. Well, impressive. The world had always been so, as Miss Clark once said. But no earl was any more well-educated than her own father had been, and he had been a gentleman and no more. Even governesses at the Bureau were liable to fall into such thinking. Anne could remember their initial training, designed to inoculate the ladies against fear of grandeur. "You will always be respectful," Miss Clark had said, glaring as though daring them to consider otherwise. "But you'll never be afraid. Governess Bureau ladies are afraid of nothing." Anne had almost laughed at the time. Now she was three postings from that moment, she could see the truth in it. If she had been easily cowed, she would not have been so vital to the Earl of Allen. As it was, well, Anne had never met someone with a title that she could not respect, but beyond that, what was there to crow about? Being a duchess or a countess, what difference did it really make to your life?
"If you ask me, he did it."
Anne blinked. Miss Fletcher had a knowing look on her face, her voice low. "Did it?" Anne repeated. Miss Fletcher nodded.
"I cannot imagine that she has truly..."
"Miss Gilbert!"
Anne rose, curtsying to Miss Clark, who had emerged from her office. The owner and founder of the Governess Bureau, somewhat of a legend in the drawing rooms of London, the woman mamas contact when truly at their wit's end. Anne found her heart beating uncomfortably fast. If Miss Clark had heard the last few exchanges between herself and Miss Fletcher, it was well known she had no tolerance for gossip.
"Come on in, then," said Miss Clark sharply. "We do not have all day."
"Good luck," whispered Miss Fletcher as Anne strode forward.
It had been a little while since she had been within Miss Clark's study. Her assignment with the Earl of Allen had been for 2 years. It had not changed much in that time. The paintings were the same, gorgeous landscapes of mountains and lakes, which made her think of Lady Maria's descriptions of Switzerland. There was the small harpsichord, and Anne had never seen one so delicate, with sheet music scattered across the top, as though Miss Clark had been searching for a particular piece. And there was a new painting. At least Anne had not noticed it before. It was a portrait, one of a lady with a sombre look on her face. The gown she wore was at least 20 years out of date, and her eyes were sad. Anne could just make out "Miss Evangeline Jones" inscribed on the bottom. One's decor, she had always thought, told one much about a person's character. Whoever Miss Evangeline Jones was, she had evidently been important to Miss Clark. A cousin? A friend?
"You are quiet, Miss Gilbert."
Anne did not jump, precisely, but she was startled. It was easy, in the quiet comfort of the study, to forget why she was here. Turning to look at Miss Clark, if Anne did not know better, she would have said the proprietress of the Governess Bureau was rattled. A smile crept over her face, but Anne quickly quashed it. What was it the Duke of Rochdale had said, not 15 minutes ago?
"The gossip is true, then. You really did marry him."
She really did. A great betrayal, at least in Miss Clark's books. No wonder she looked unsettled, as though a part of her steady and organised life had been utterly upended. A governess had married her master. Anne had never heard of such a thing occurring, and it was, of course, directly against Rule 3 of the Governess Bureau. You must never fall in love. Anne had not batted an eyelash when she had been asked to agree to them when she had first joined. The idea that she would marry at all was ridiculous. Her siblings had, and she had to work. That was that.
Yet, There was something rather wonderful and joyful about the whole thing. Meredith Hubert, or the Duchess of Rochdale as she was now, had certainly looked happy. Happier than Anne had ever seen her. When they had trained together, Anne had seen no ill of her. She was not the sort of hussy to go after a duke, so the entire thing must have happened most spectacularly.
Miss Gilbert.
Yes, Anne recollected herself and smiled wanly at her employer.
Yes, I am quiet, Miss Clark. Is anything the matter?
Her innocent question was not answered.
Sit down.
Anne obeyed, an action more likely to keep the peace than if she answered back. However, her teasing nature could not quite help itself.
Are you well, Miss Clark?
Miss Clark, a woman in the prime of her life, as she would probably consider it, thought Anne Riley, glared. There was no other response. Anne swallowed and found her warm demeanour quelled rather quickly in the presence of Miss Clark. She was formidable. All governesses thought so. Any woman who could create a business like this, against all the odds, against all those gentlemen in society who had laughed at the idea, well, she had shown them. But by grit, not warmth. Miss Clark took her seat on the other side of the impressive mahogany desk, and her gaze slipped past Anne, over her shoulder, and toward the door. It remained there for almost a minute until Anne coughed gently.
Well, really, it was a little rude, Miss Clark, showing quite clearly that her mind was already on another appointment.
Ah, yes, Miss Gilbert, said Miss Clark, her gaze finally focusing on the woman before her.
Yes, tell me about your previous assignment.
This was a rather strange question, considering Anne could see a letter on the desk between them with the seal of the House of Allen.
Of course, Miss Clark, she said aloud. I was engaged 2 years ago by the Earl of Allen to care for his 3 children. Lady Maria Grantchester is now 17, Lord Grantchester is 15, and departed 3 years ago to Eton, and the Right Honourable Gordon is 11 and followed suit last week. All 3 children have been educated to a high standard, and Lady Maria will enter society this season, at Almack in 2 weeks, I believe. No unusual circumstances. A happy family.
It was a concise summary, and one she had rehearsed in the carriage ride back to London. The Earl had been very good about that. Well, he did owe her a favour. Anne had expected Miss Clark to speak, to agree with her summary, ask a question, anything. But the older woman just sat there, staring. The silence elongated to such an extent, Anne started to feel the prickle of nerves creeping down her spine. Why wasn't Miss Clark saying anything? Was there a chance the report from the Earl, clearly sitting between them, said anything different? She swallowed, tasting fear. When one joined a household, you trusted your master and mistress with your reputation, just as they trusted you with their child. The grander the title, the higher the expectations. That was natural. But she had always given her best. There was nothing in her memory that suggested she had ever done something indiscreet. Had she? Miss Clark's glare had raised the temperature of the room by several degrees, but after what felt like an eternity, she picked up the letter with the Earl's seal.
It says here, said the proprietress after another minute's silence, that you are a governess of discretion.
It was evidently not a question, so Anne waited.
And why would the Earl of Allen say such a thing?
It was not like Anne to hesitate, but this was a delicate situation. At the end of the day, she had not intended to do it. She had not planned to walk into that bedchamber on the hunt for Lady Maria's blue spring bonnet,
and she had therefore not intended to walk in on the Earl making love to his mistress. She had quickly departed and endured a rather uncomfortable conversation afterward. Anne knew Miss Clark was waiting for her response, but what was she supposed to say? That the Earl had offered her money for her silence. Money, which had offended her conscience far more than the indiscretion. "I am a member of the Governess Bureau," she had said coldly. "My master's secrets are as closely guarded as my own." "I am waiting," said Miss Clark, her voice cutting into Anne's thoughts. Anne took a deep breath. "I really could not say what he means." There was a laugh, but not from Miss Clark. The voice was low, mischievous, masculine. Anne whirled around and saw, to her surprise, a gentleman, tall and with closely cut chestnut hair, was standing by the door. She had not heard him come in, which meant he had been there when she herself had entered the room, but she simply had not noticed. Cheeks flushed, Anne quickly recounted all she had said. No, there was nothing there she was ashamed of.
"My God, look at you,"
the man breathed. Anne's stomach twisted. Now what could he mean by that? "You do not know what he means," Miss Clark persisted, and Anne turned to face her. "You refuse to tell me." This was not how it was supposed to go at all. Anne had not expected wild and extravagant praise, exactly, but she had worked hard for the Allens and had hoped for a similarly impressive station next. "I said," she uttered clearly, "I do not know what he means." The gentleman behind her snorted.
"The governors of discretion, indeed."
Whoever this man was, Anne thought irritably, he was most rude not to introduce himself and listen to her conversation with Miss Clark. Besides, she had given her word to the Earl of Allen. Even if that promise had not precluded ensuring that her mistress, the Countess of Allen, had discovered the presence of her husband's mistress accidentally, she had not told anyone. Anne smiled. Just because she had discretion, that did not mean that she did not have a moral centre.
"She's perfect."
The gentleman stepped forward and dropped lazily into the chair beside her.
"I'll take her."
But you have only just... Don't you want to see others?" spluttered Miss Clark. "There are plenty of governesses currently on my books who..."
"No, I've seen all I need," said the gentleman with a grin.
His gaze scanned over Anne. If she had known she was to be judged by a future master, she would have done something more with her hair, and certainly given a longer report of her time with the Allens. As Miss Clark spluttered on about the variety of different expertise available to him within the Governess Bureau, Anne took the liberty of examining what appeared to be her future employer. He was young, younger than she had expected, if he was indeed the Earl of Clarkton. For some reason, she always pictured earls as elderly gentlemen, doddery, and stuck in their ways. Most earls were not as attractive as this one, either. His jaw always seemed to be held at a jaunty angle. His eyes were sharp, a dark blue, and uncompromising in their view. Yet if Anne had passed him on the street, she would not have taken him for an earl. Though well-dressed, his waistcoat was barely embroidered at all, his cuffs frayed. An earl was supposed to be, well, more dashing, Anne mused. He appeared subdued. The gentleman's gaze caught her own, and he chuckled, his eyes teasing her as though she had been a maid caught in the act of sitting on the mistress's bed. Anne looked away.
"No," he said with a grin. "This is the one."
Anne looked at Miss Clark, who sighed. "So be it," Miss Anne Gilbert, Timothy Lexington, Earl of Clarkton. My lord, Miss Gilbert has just finished an assignment, and before her next, she's due a certain amount of rest, and...
I'll take her now.
This...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?